happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. Hello.
And we hope you will have a happy Thanksgiving, or having a happy Thanksgiving, or have had a happy Thanksgiving when you watch the program.
I think that covers all the bases. Andy, let's start with your medical report this week.
Well, I wasn't going to weigh in because I saw the pain doctor yesterday and she took me off some meds and it wasn't so nice last night.
That's very cruel.
I may have to get back on those pills. Anyway, but I'm basically ambulatory. I haven't missed a day of work, Ms. Northrup.
I have noticed. I know that. Are you yelling at me for missing days of work after my...
No, not at all. Of course not. If I need to miss a day of work, I will. And how are you?
I'm good. I have to get back into a, you should excuse the expression, compression bra, because that is supposed to help with the lumpiness that I've been complaining about for months. So I hate the idea of getting back into a bra. I have enjoyed not wearing one, and I will go back to not wearing one. But for the moment, I will be, you know, holding myself together and hoping to reduce the fluid-filled pouches or whatever they are.
We're all rooting for you.
And I also want to say that a couple of my golf group friends had surgery on Friday, both of them on Friday, one a double mastectomy like me for a very, very early breast cancer. And the other, who had breast cancer a few years ago, has now been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, which is, of course, sad and scary. But she had surgery on Friday, and both of them are doing fine. A little uncomfortable right after surgery, of course. But it's a reminder that we really are in the midst of an epidemic of cancer. You read about it, and I'm seeing it up close in my friend group, and... I just want to continually urge people to get tested. You have nothing to lose by getting tested and a lot to gain. So I hope you will make a little Thanksgiving pledge of thankfulness for your own life and do something to make sure it continues.
Absolutely. Don't put off seeing the doctors.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
Well, I did for a long time, and it almost cost me. So I am very, very grateful this Thanksgiving that I caught it in time.
Okay. Should we get to the bad news and the good news?
There's good news, too, but yes, bad news.
We start off with the Trump wrecking ball. You know, they say, oh, he's down 39% in terms of the time he spends at meetings and things. But the damage he's doing from the previous administration is about 1,000%. All right. So yeah. Anyway, the wrecking ball. Military, U.S. military is set to cut ties with the Boy Scouts over gender issues. World AIDS Day observances by the government agencies are banned.
No more red ribbon on the White House.
Investigations into anti-LGBTQ hate crimes have been almost completely gutted. And the new CDC number two is a quack.
But there, I promise you, there are better news stories coming. Starting just locally in Detroit, where we see some political progress there.
And we keep telling you about this New York City congressional race because now they have three prominent men who are LGBTQ, and they're seeking the Democratic nomination.
Well, Jerry Nadler retires and the gays move in. The FBI trainee who was fired for displaying a pride flag in his office, given to him by his bosses, by the way, is suing.
The imperious gay Treasury Secretary of the United States tells us that if we want lower inflation, You just need to move.
Perhaps to Canada. He really, you just want to slap him every time you see him. He's so annoying.
Violence.
a light tap, perhaps. I didn't say kill him. I just said slap him.
Yes. Hold it. Be careful. They're going after everybody for telling you to follow the law.
Yeah. Okay. We have added 6 more trans people to our memorial list.
The Lutheran Church in New York installed its first woman bishop, and she's an out lesbian activist.
And Andy was there and will bring us a report.
It was fun out there. Yeah. All those happy people.
Yes. In other losses this week, we will remember a leading Atlanta activist, a cult movie icon, a groundbreaking bisexual activist, and the author of those Whatever Became Of books.
Ghana, inspired by Trump, by the way, is cracking down on its LGBTQ people.
And you may have seen the news because it was everywhere, a story in The New Yorker. JFK's 35-year-old granddaughter is dying of cancer, and she wants you to know her cousin RFK Jr. is hastening her death.
Tom Viola, who just stepped down as head of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, he was inducted into the Theater Hall of Fame.
And when Andy wasn't at church for the induction of the new bishop, he was at the movies to see Wicked for Good, and reports it's full of LGBTQ actors and rainbow colors.
And the National Book Award for Fiction was awarded to a gay Lebanese novelist. Now, that's all the time we have, so we'll see you next week.
Almost true. All right, well, let's start with that, with a little fighting back before we get to the bad news. Our friends at Rise and Resist were out in the streets. They're always at Fox headquarters on Tuesdays, and they had a special Christmas edition as there's, Fox was putting up its Christmas tree.
There's Jackie Rudin. Oh, go back to the last one. There's Jackie Rudin front and center, and it says, "All I want for Christmas is the Epstein files." These are Jackie Rudin photos.
Already we've forgotten about the Epstein files with everything else happening.
Well, because, you know, they keep throwing things like, you know, locking up senators to distract from all this. And of course, to distract from the fact that, you know, the Eurasia premiums are going way up. And by the way, this is also the week where you get the news about what kind of an increase you got in Social Security and Medicare and all insurance, really. It's all coming. So let's distract people with those kinds of stories.
Well, I got my notice about Social Security payments, and mine are basically exactly the same as they were last year because the increase is eaten up by higher Medicare premiums, which are paid out of my Social Security.
It's diabolical. You know,
Medicare has paid a lot for me this year for my medical care.
By the way, I did watch some of the American Revolution. I'm not all the way through it. And, you know, when George Washington lost the battle for Long Island to the British in 1776, August, he fled to New York City and then to Harlem. And the British took the city without losing a man. And this city became a haven for American loyalists. And the loyalists signed a Declaration of Dependence, which is essentially what Republicans in Congress have signed, pledging dependence on Donald Trump. But there are some cracks in the support we're going to talk about.
Well, it makes you wonder if the Americans who were loyal to the British Crown were here in New York and the American Bund was here in New York at Madison Square Garden, maybe we're not living in such an historically liberal city.
I have always said it's not such a liberal city, although we did just elect Zoran Mamdani.
Who's backpedaling on some of his more...
It's fine.
I expected that, and
it's fine, but we have to fight.
Well, what I don't want him to backpedal on is the NYPD. He's keeping Jessica Tisch, who did a great thing when she started as commissioner by uprooting some of the corruption. But she has stood by violent NYPD officers. And there is a new report out, a four-year report on the NYPD in New York City and their sexual assaults on trans people and LGBT people, LGBT people, 3,700 people they surveyed, and there were outrageous numbers of sexual assaults by the NYPD.
And the reports out of New York State prisons about beatings of inmates is a story this week. I mean, this is New York, you know, which is supposed to be, again, so liberal. It's not.
Well, I haven't seen any comment by Governor Hochul on that report, and they have pictures that are just outrageous of corrections officers assaulting inmates.
I'm still not voting for Elise Stefanik. Anyway, Americans are, you know, we're all horrified by the Gestapo tactics of these masked ICE agents. Yep. Now, even the FBI is starting to alert state and federal law enforcement agencies that men impersonating ICE agents are kidnapping and raping people. The FBI memo is urging agents to identify themselves clearly, but that isn't happening. The job has become a well-paid paradise for those wanting to act out prejudices and bigotry.
Well, a lot of the latest bulletin, some of these corrections officers who are beginning to get held to account for some of their violence in prisons against prisoners are ditching their prison jobs and joining ICE so that they are freer to assault people.
This is how fascism takes root. Yeah. Then there's the U.S. military. They now intend to sever ties with Scouting America, formerly the Boy Scouts of America, citing its decision to change its name in an effort to be more inclusive. Pete Hegseth accused them of attacking boy-friendly spaces. Would you want your boy to be with this character? When it made the decision to become genderless in a leaked memo,
Hegseth said that the inclusion of girls in the Scouting America organization, which is simply an attempt to, steal girls from the Girl Scouts of America, it means that the Scouts will no longer cultivate masculine values.
Oh, God bless it. All right. Now, hate crimes are simply no longer a priority for the U.S. Justice Department. Well, not all hate crimes, especially those based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender. So 100 members of Congress wrote and said, look, you know, we used to have this big office for community relations and now it's down to one employee. I mean, so they can't do their jobs. Which is, of course, the idea. The DOJ has canceled 370 grants from the Office of Justice Programs, totaling $500 million, which supported law enforcement, victim services organization. I could go on and on. Everything was about enforcing the Matthew Shepard, Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. So no, they're not interested in that. They are interested in hate crimes against white Christians, some Jewish people, of course, not the liberal ones. And what's the other thing that they're concerned about these days? Just white people in general.
Yeah. It's all going down the drain. It's all disappearing. That's exactly what they want. And today's news is Trump wants a bigger ballroom.
And the architect is
against it. Well, can we talk, as long as we're on the military with Hegseth, can we talk about the six Democratic seditionists who are in trouble with Trump?
Sure.
I mean, really, first of all,
seditionists.
Absolutely breathtaking that they made that video and publicly encouraged members of the military to assess whether they were being asked to execute illegal orders.
These were all military veterans themselves or veterans of the CIA or some of these groups. And they just said, by the way, it's written in bronze at the military academies, you may not abide by an unlawful order. That's all, a legal order. That's all they said, which is just what the law is. So they're not going to lose their cases, but they're being horribly harassed.
They may lose their lives. They're being the subject of death threats. They all have 24-hour protection these days because they are being so threatened and harassed. And I am just so amazed and proud of them for standing up and doing this. They may just be stating the obvious, but man, these days in the Trump administration, that is a wildly brave thing to do and really, really admirable.
They're not even the most, you know, radically liberal members of Congress. They're just decent Americans.
Right. No, these are the middle of the road people who have a dedication to the rule of law and the Constitution. And somehow they got themselves together to say, we need to stand up and say this because this is getting lost in all this horror. And I just couldn't be more in awe of their courage in doing this.
Well, I don't know where they're going to get the personnel to protect them. You know, DOGE is supposed to be gone now, leaving 300,000 federal workers fired, but also it has led, and this is the new statistic that came out this week, 600,000 USAID deaths and counting, two-thirds of them children. The Trump administration eliminated more than 270 grants through the National Institutes of Health. A lot of this is for anti-gay, you know, getting rid of coverage for gay stuff, for HIV stuff, et cetera. It is just catastrophic.
More on that in AIDS news, but this is World AIDS Day on Monday, and the White House is refusing to acknowledge it. There will be no red ribbon on the White House. There will be no announcements. There will be no ceremonies. No one in the government is allowed to acknowledge World AIDS Day.
You can go to a World AIDS Day event, but you may not speak if you work for this government. And you may not promote it on social media.
It makes the days of stigma look like heaven.
Right.
That was the least. So should we spend a minute on Marjorie Taylor Greene? Because she came up with a statement that I also thought was
great. And also we should acknowledge that, you know, Comey and Tish James were, you know, their cases were dismissed. Of course, they're going to keep trying to do that. But we followed those cases. And the right thing was done by Judge Cameron McGowan Curry of South Carolina.
And while we were on the military, the Coast Guard has gone back and forth on whether swastikas and nooses are hate symbols or just potentially divisive.
The kind of fights that we have to fight. Well, go ahead.
Sorry. My phone is turned off, but it keeps beeping. I'm not sure why that is happening. So Marjorie Taylor Greene resigning from Congress. I do not believe she will end up on The View. I think that is just nonsense. But she said something that struck me as so profound. She said, I refuse to be a battered wife, hoping it all goes away and gets better. I thought that was pretty insightful and a great description of how the Trump administration treats Congress and anyone who disagrees with them. They're battered wives. And she stood up and said, I understand that's how I'm being treated and I'm not going to take it anymore.
You don't think she may run for president in 2028? Who else is going to actually inherit the MAGA mantle?
She may very well run for something, or she may not, but that's not my point. And it's also, you know, she still is in favor of horrible things, and she's no friend of ours. And I'm not supporting Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I thought that insight was important, an important way to define her position.
And now on to our gay U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, who was a multimillionaire. He said on Meet the Press that the way to beat inflation is to move from a blue state to a red state, and your inflation would be 0.5% lower. I mean, this is like let them eat cake all over again.
Well, first of all, he lies about everything when he says, you know, inflation is down and prices are down and it was all much worse in the Biden administration, all of which is nonsense.
Okay.
But yes, he is utterly, he defines the oblivious aristocrat.
And this is why Democratic-backed candidates beat out Republican-backed ones in numerous school board elections nationwide during the recent Democratic sweep at the elections we just had. It really is encouraging to read this. There's something called the Pipeline Fund. It's a liberal group that recruited and trained school board candidates in 12 states, and they won 43 of the 49 races that they entered in Pennsylvania and 18 of 22 in Ohio. So they're, you know, we can fight back and win.
We are fighting back and we are winning. And that's all. That's where the trajectory is now. They've still got a lot of power. They're still doing horrible things, but we're on the march. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse told Rick Grenell, another imperious.
Sheldon Whitehouse, senator from Rhode Island.
Yeah. So Rick Grenell, another annoying gay man. Grinnell, is under investigation for corruption at the Kennedy Center. That was quick.
Well, because they're just giving the place away to right-wing groups without charging them what they would normally charge.
They let CPAC hold their conference there.
Right.
And they're entertaining donors. That's their main thing now, is to entertain donors.
So, we had a court victory for trans youth and their families. A federal judge blocked the so-called Justice Department from accessing private medical records of kids who sought gender-affirming care at Children's Hospital of, Philadelphia.
Yep.
This is Judge Mark Kearney, an Obama appointee. And he basically said, you know, this is private information. If you're exposing them to all kinds of problems if you let all this stuff out, and we're just not going to allow it.
The DOJ had issued subpoenas for trans kids' medical records, names, birth dates, social security numbers, addresses, and clinical notes. Oh, we just want everything about everyone who's being treated. Outrageous. And the judge said, the hell with you. No.
And then we had a court victory in the U.S. District of Rhode Island, a permanent injunction. And this applies to a lot of states. It was Trump tried to dismantle the Institute of Museum Library Services. And they said, no, you can't do this. It's unconstitutional. This applies to 21 states. I mean, it's not over, but, that's a victory.
I know. Who even knows what the, maybe you do, the Institute of Museum and Library Services is.
We're for museums.
And there's a new analysis of an HHS report on trans healthcare. The authors and peer reviewers were all notorious trans haters. Every last one of them. And they had the gall to issue this report, which clearly was not positive about trans healthcare.
So we told you last week about the new odd couple, Trump and Mamdani, our mayor-elect. So Congress member Elise Stefanik, now seeking the GOP nomination for governor of New York, has made attacks on him, the centerpiece of her campaign. And she was very unnerved by Trump's rapprochement with Mamdani. And when she gave this interview, she repeatedly got his name wrong, calling him Mamdani. So we know Trump's your daddy, Elise. Who's your mommy?
Please, Andy.
Okay. No, I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, she just sits there and smiles and
And well, yeah, and she's
ageism, racism.
Who knows what will happen in the next year in that race? But
well, she's 20 points down now. Elise is so. Yeah,
I know, but a lot can happen in a year, so I'm not counting my chickens as it is yet.
Not to alarm you too much, but Trump supporter Larry Ellison, who bought CBS and is veering it to the right, has apparently the inside track to buy Warner Brothers, which includes HBO. Goodbye, John Oliver, and CNN, which Trump also needs to join the right-wing media. What's more, a Trump supporter has bought Dominion Systems, the company that makes most of the voting machines. I'm not trying to alarm you on the verge of your Thanksgiving dinner, but there it is.
There it is. Well, Leanne Withrow, a trans woman in Springfield, Illinois, a member of the Illinois National Guard, is filing a class action suit against Hegseth Rubio and Christy Noem because after 10 years of service in the National Guard and using the women's restroom perfectly routinely, she has now been barred as a trans woman from doing that. So she is filing suit because she has been dehydrating herself, not drinking liquids, not eating on the job so that she can avoid having to use a bathroom. She is suing on the grounds that this is a violation of Title VII of the 64 Civil Rights Act. She is a civilian employee of the National Guard, and she won the Lincoln Medal of Freedom for her work over the last 10 years.
And there was a lot of good news on this past election day, but here's from Detroit. They will have now two LGBTQ city council members in January. The incumbent there, Gabriela Santiago Romero, was reelected, and she will be joined by Denzel McCampbell come January. Great progress for the city.
Very nice. And we'll see what happens in the way of progress for the 12th congressional district. 12th or 2nd?
We're in the 12th, Ann. You moved, but you're still on the 12th.
Well, I'm getting dragged back to Chelsea, too, for I should tell people this. On December 15th, we are having a community meeting in Chelsea to organize to fight back against ICE or National Guard or anyone who comes to invade.
Hands off New York City, happened in all the cities where they have invaded.
More details to come, but mark December 15th at 6:30 on your calendars for the Chelsea Neighbors United community meeting. But meanwhile, we have this congressional race going on. Jerry Nadler retires and 500 people apply to run.
Well, it's at least 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all serious candidates, which is, I just want to say something about this, because you got like, you know, one of them is Jack Schlossberg, and he does a video and saying, we need to take back the House. Your election in the 12th district has nothing to do with taking back the House, Jack. Stop it. You know, maybe, you know, they should all, seriously, I mean this, they should all get together and say, we're going to have a process to have a candidate, and the rest of us are going to give the money to, you know, someplace out in Iowa to pick up some seats.
Okay.
But no.
Well, let's start by looking at one of the newer candidates, a young guy named Cameron Caskey, who was a survivor of the Parkland high school shooting in Florida, but he now lives in New York, and he's a little firecracker. And so we have a little video of his announcement. Let's look at Cameron.
I think that what I have entered is a very, very crowded race of quirked up white boys who have twinkish qualities about them and are looking to do the right thing. I think that there is a cadre of twinks right now. It makes you feel like you are on the ferry to Fire Island Pines, getting ready to go dance with a lot of people who are on G. And it's exciting. It's an exciting twink off. And I hope that I can prevail as the twink in the twink off. But there's good people in this race. And I like that because there are certain races, like in New York's 10th congressional district, where you got somebody like Dan Goldman, who targets other Democrats, hangs out in the Bahamas with Donald Trump Jr. at a crypto con during the government shutdown. And that's a serious race where it's like, we need to make sure we get this guy out of here and the stakes are high. Whereas in New York 12, like, I think that the principles that guide my decision making are the ones that people ought to get behind. But I don't really think that there's a scumbag in this race who we need to make sure that we stop. I think that there's a bunch of people with agendas that are strong. I think my agenda is stronger.
He's, well, there you are.
I watched his campaign announcement. He's very vigorous. And I see all the other candidates trying to copy that. But this guy is 25 years old, which is, and he just did it this month. Because that's the minimum age to be in the House. So I think, I mean, look, there's a lot of great candidates. We'll sort it out. We don't have a candidate, but we'll, it's going to be.
Well, one of the other interesting candidates hasn't announced as gay, but who knows? George Conway.
who's to be married to Kellyanne Conway.
Exactly.
And he's a former Republican, former conservative lawyer, but he's, of course, one of Trump's fiercest critics. And there he is, 62 years old, and wants to...
Well, first of all, who could recognize him in that picture? He looks quite a bit different. But who knew he was living in the 12th Congressional District in Manhattan, for heaven's sake?
Who knew Carmen Caskey was living in the district? But there they are.
Cameron.
Didn't I say Cameron? Oh, whatever.
I think you said Carmen, but whatever.
Cameron. One of the effects of these drugs is my mouth doesn't move as well. It's serious.
Okay. Good to know. And then we have the continuing saga of Chiasse, not in the 12th, but wants to...
He's an out gay city council member in New York.
Wants to primary Hakeem Jeffries on the verge of becoming the Speaker of the House. And he joined the Democratic Socialists, Mamdani and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's group fairly recently. And AOC and Mamdani are against him running against Jeffries because they don't want to upset the apple cart that much.
So 52% of their eligible members voted against endorsing his campaign. I'm sure that was engineered by AOC and Mamdani.
Engineered. They both publicly said that they didn't want him to run.
Right. But here, so you could say only 52% voted against him because, Jeffries is in many ways unpopular. But for the guy who's going to be the mayor of New York, the prospect of having the Speaker of the House as our representative is an attractive thing when you're trying to negotiate things with Washington.
And Jeffries did endorse him at the last minute. So there's a lot of horse trading going on. You'd think New York would be more pat, but it's going to be kind of interesting for the next year.
So I did go to the installation of the first woman Lutheran bishop in New York after all these years, Bishop Katrina Foster. And there she is on the right and with her granddaughter and with her wife, Pamela Kalamanis. And there's her wife putting the mitre on her during the ceremony. And Pamela was the first speaker at this wonderful ceremony that took place at St. John the Divine. And, it was quite moving. Now, Katrina Foster is a lesbian activist. They almost threw her out of the priesthood for coming out in 2007, but she won the right for LGBTQ people to be clergy in the Lutheran Church. And now she's the bishop. So I talked to her for just about a minute after the ceremony.
At what point did you think this will never happen? And then when did you know this could happen?
I knew it could happen from the age of 4. That's when I was called, and I knew that I was called to become a pastor. So, yeah.
But in terms of the acceptance, that took time, and you played a major role in that. So when did you really think that would be possible in the church?
2007.
Yeah, in 2007. You didn't finish the video there, Rich. You cutting us off. All right. I
I asked her what her message was for LGBTQ New Yorkers, and she said, you know, everybody is welcome here. And that's, look, this is great, because some of the other denominations, you are shut out.
Well, to me, one of the stunning facts is that she's a former member of the Lesbian Avengers activist group.
Apparently, yes.
So you can go to the Avengers.
And her wife used to sell ads for Outweek. So they're in the community. They're activists.
Anything is possible.
All right.
And you can end up as the bishop.
That's
all right.
No, go ahead.
David Maltinsky. He was the FBI trainee. He'd worked for, was he working for the FBI before or some government agency?
FBI, and you know, a civilian.
Yeah, that is a fierce looking guy. So he had worked for the agency for a number of years. His bosses had given him a rainbow flag in appreciation of who he was and the work he did. And he hung it up in his office on the wall. And
I'm sorry to fill in. He joined the FBI's field office in LA in 2009 as a civilian assistant, spent the next 15 years supporting agents who were pursuing public corruption and cyber cases. So serious efforts.
But then the Trump administration came. He went to training school to become a full-fledged FBI agent. And at some point he took down his flag before the Trump administration took office. But that's not good enough for Kash Patel, who has fired him for ever having a pride flag hanging. And David is now suing because
this flag was presented to him in 2021 in the LA office. And it had flown outside the office on the grounds of the federal building there in Wilshire. So it's all, you know, in those days they had gay groups at all, LGBT groups at all these agencies. And now.
Well, the charge that got him fired was, and this drives me crazy when this happens, it happens all the time. Kash Patel and his minions describe this, define it as political to hang a rainbow flag. And I would like them to justify calling hanging a rainbow flag political.
And I'd like to talk about the politics of Kash Patel devoting essentially hundreds of thousands of dollars for the security of the woman he's dating.
Well, he may not last very long because the rumor is he's on his way out, but not unfortunately because he defined the rainbow flag as political.
I imagine there's another monster on the horizon.
I imagine that also.
Tennessee, there's been a big crackdown on LGBTQ books in libraries by the Secretary of State of the state. I mean, this is just insane. This guy, Hargett, singled out a children's book called Fred Gets Dressed by Peter Brown, which was written by a straight cisgender man, doesn't feature any LGBTQ characters. And of course, this is all unconstitutional. When it goes to court, they lose over this censorship.
The Secretary of State ordered 181 public libraries to shut down to review the books, not libraries in Nashville or Memphis, but everywhere else in the state. And it's just heinous. Now, Tennessee is having a very important election next week for a special election for a congressional seat. And the Democrat is a couple of points behind, but is given
it's a very Trump district.
Well, she's close. And given the way things are going this year, I would not be shocked if she actually won the special election.
And the attitude when we run in these heavily Trump districts is, as long as we, you know, it's great to win, but if you can really brush back the percentage, you're sending a signal.
Yes, and I'm going to send a signal that we have under 20 minutes to go. So,
talk about your favorite story.
My favorite story is from Maryland, where a woman has pleaded guilty to defacing property by spray painting this symbol, a trans symbol, on something near a Catholic school and other buildings nearby. Parents in the area thought it was a threat of shooting. And she says she did it because she was bullied at school when she was in school. She is a trans woman who was jailed for 2 months with men, as this was defined as a hate crime. Spray paint. We had a similar thing last week of a little graffiti on a church or school or something. You do this and suddenly you are public enemy number one.
All right. We're going to talk about some trans people that we lost. And I'm going to recommend that we talk about Girlala, who we just lost in Pompano Beach, Florida, a hairstylist and social media influencer who was murdered by her boyfriend. Longtime partner at age 21. And I will link to the six trans people who were added to the memorial list by our friends who track this. All these people, these are people who died in 2024, and we're just catching up with them, but I don't want to do an injustice to them. So I will link to their stories in our email.
I'll just say they're from D.C., Austin, Texas, Denver, Oxford, Mississippi, California, and Seattle. And each of them has their own story, which is why we don't want to shortchange them. And then in Atlanta, we lost Dave Hayward, activist and historian, age 76, of a heart attack. He invented the story project, Touching Up Our Roots. And it was an audio tour, too, around Atlanta. He was a member of the Gay Liberation Front and ACT UP in Atlanta and very much a local activist.
And then we lost Lorraine Hutchins, who was a groundbreaking bisexual activist. She's died at 81. She was the author of the groundbreaking By Any Other Name, BI, Bisexual People Speak Out, back in 91. She helped create a nationwide coalition that would later turn into Binet USA. And so she was a leader on all these issues.
She was
link in our email to a short video of her that was made by Outwards.
She was at a 2013 White House bisexual roundtable that was significant.
And then cult actor Udo Kier, the German star of some of the most acclaimed art house films of the past half century, he's died at the age of 81. His partner, Delbert McBride, confirmed that he died this past Sunday. I think that picture is from the 1973 Andy Warhol Flesh for Frankenstein film with Joe D'Alessandro, but he appeared in three films by Gus Van Sant. He was in Dancer, and he won the Palme d'Or at Cannes for Dancer in the Dark, a 2000 musical. So he's been around for a long time, and he's got a new movie coming out in L.A., it's called My Neighbor Adolf, a darkly comic story, as you can imagine. It follows
He was in the Madonna book Sex.
Yeah. The film, by the way, follows a reclusive Holocaust survivor who becomes convinced that his mysterious new neighbor is Adolf Hitler in hiding. And then Anne.
Richard Lamparski was a household name many years ago with his series of books, Whatever Became Of, and he would pick actors, TV, movies, and follow their stories for after they had retired or disappeared from the headlines. And it was a very popular series of books. I remember him from back then. I can't quite remember how, but he died at 93.
Yes.
All right. In Boston, a display of 400 trans flags on the Boston Common for the Trans Day of Remembrance was stolen. 400 trans flags. They have no leads on what happened to them. In San Diego, there was a drive-by shooting with a pellet gun at two gay bars. Two trans women were injured. There was a similar attack a year ago, and four 19-year-old boys were arrested in that one. So, you know, just kids out having fun, shooting people.
International news?
Alito is allowing the redistricting of Texas to continue while the case is considered.
Awful. Yeah. All right.
MAGA is invading Disneyland on the same day as Gay Day, February 28th, to annoy gay people.
Civil war. Yeah. All right. In international news, the EU, the European Union's highest court, ruled that same-sex marriages must be respected throughout the bloc, and it rebuked Poland for refusing to recognize a marriage between two of its citizens that took place in Germany. So this is, they're saying, you don't have to do same-sex marriages, but you've got to respect them when they come to your country.
Yes, if they're married elsewhere. The Dominican Republic court there has legalized gay sex for security forces.
Ghana's president has pledged to sign that anti-LGBTQ bill that penalizes allies. Now, this was held up for a long time, but now they're saying, well, Trump is in power and we can do it and we're not going to suffer any repercussions.
In the UK, women cyclists said that they were going to refuse a listing as top cyclists if trans women were not allowed to be included on the list. Solidarity forever.
Okay.
And in New Zealand, the government has banned new puberty blocker prescriptions. Those who already have them can continue using them, but new ones will not be allowed because they say they don't have enough information, they could be damaging, whatever. And the UN has rejected an amendment proposed by Egypt to delete sexual orientation and gender identity from a resolution about disability rights. That was voted down. The reference to sexual orientation and gender identity stands in the resolution.
All right. AIDS and health news?
Yes.
Yes. Andy Hama, though he's very elderly, learned how to silence alerts on his thing during the show so that it's not going to happen anymore. All right. So look, we told you that you can't observe World AIDS Day by the U.S. government, but I'll be moderating a panel on HIV and aging for the New York City Department of Aging at the New World Trade Center. Among the panelists will be Reginald Thomas Brown and Ivy Kwan Arce, who are two long-term survivors.
And you mentioned at the top the U.S. government cutting AIDS funding around the world and people dying. Trump has cut the U.S. government, the State Department, Gilead, and the Global Fund have delivered 2 million doses of lenacapavir to a couple of African countries, Zambia and Eswatini, which is a twice-a-year prevention shot, very effective. But the U.S. has killed so many clinics and workers who could administer this drug that they're talking about just giving it to pregnant and breastfeeding women, not LGBTQ, not sex workers, not young women. This is all the scheming of Vought and Stephen Miller and all the monsters in the Trump administration.
Makes you ashamed to be an American. I read a statistic that 2/3 of young people would rather live in another country at this point.
Well, some old people too.
Well, harder for us.
And they've also cut, of course, research across the board, which leads us in a segue to Tatiana Schlossberg,
yes,
the sister of Jack Schlossberg, candidate in Congressional District 12, daughter of Caroline Kennedy and Ed Schlossberg, who wrote a lengthy piece in The New Yorker about how she is dying of cancer, and in part says that because her cousin, RFK Jr., has cut research funds, her chances of surviving are less than they might otherwise be.
Well, that's a key part of the story, and I think that's why she wrote the article. She's getting cut off from treatments and things and vaccines and all these things because of her cousin, RFK Jr., and the national news is just reporting, oh, it's so sad, another Kennedy tragedy, and oh, where we all, our hearts go out to her. She's making a political point.
Yes, she is. So, but pick up the New Yorker if you want to read her story, because it is, it's political as well as personal.
Okay. So a doctor who's been critical of vaccines was appointed as the CDC's number two, Dr. Ralph Lee Abraham. Now, this guy is off the charts. He was, you know, promoting things like all those quack treatments for COVID during the COVID epidemic. I mean, it's just, and he's been the Louisiana Surgeon General, where he halted the state's mass vaccination campaign, called COVID vaccines dangerous, endorsed avoiding Tylenol in pregnancy. I mean, it is, you'd want to talk about heartbreaking for the whole country. That's what's going on.
And that's exactly it. Heartbreaking for the whole country, all of this.
And RFK Jr. abandoned his, said in an interview that the CDC will abandon its longstanding position that vaccines do not cause autism. They're just going to, they're going to work on this. All right.
And I'm confused about Doge, because National Doge evidently has collapsed. But there's a story that a state Doge in Florida is demanding from all 12 state universities all information about courses, syllabi, students. They want every single detail of all of that.
Okay. All right. Tom Viola, we had him on the show earlier this year, the former head of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. He has been inducted into the Theater Hall of Fame, which they have there at the, what theater is it? The Gershwin Theater. And it was a very moving ceremony. He gave a great speech. I think I'll link to some of his remarks, because he gives all the credit, of course. He says, this isn't about me. This is about the thousands of people who work with Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And yeah, so we love
Tom. There may be some truth in that, but Tom is a hero and one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. So very, very deserving of all the praise that comes his way.
Entertainment news?
Yes.
The key to surviving Thanksgiving is have Leslie Jones at your party. I'm going to link to the Daily Show.
If only.
I am going to link to the, I laugh, it's only 2 minutes. I'm going to link to it in our email, which is why you should sign up for our email at getusatv.org. It's also a way to make an end of year donation to GayUSA to keep these two cats talking for another year.
Well, thank God I'm on the distribution list, because I haven't seen that. Now I really want to see it.
She's a pip.
She is.
All right. The gay Lebanese novelist Rabi Alameddine won the National Book Award for Fiction for the true story of Raja the Gullible.
The true story.
Oh, sorry. I skipped a true. I thought that was a typo. It's a darkly comic saga spanning six decades. In his speech, he said he thanked his psychiatrist, his gastrointestinal doctors, and his drug dealers. I shouldn't say more about that.
The full title is The True Story of Raja the Gullible and His Mother.
Yes. Okay. Travis Kelce has been seen sporting a rare Rolex Daytona rainbow watch. Now, most of the stories focused on the fact that the watch could cost as much as $500,000, but it's also a clear signal that he is, and always has been for a while, an LGBTQ ally.
Yes, and there was talk about him doing it because his fiancée is such an ally. But I think that would be Ms. Swift.
Yes.
But he wasn't walking into the stadium this weekend. So that's where they got the picture.
So I did see, I saw a Guild screening of Wicked for Good, which is out in the theaters. And, you know, there were literally more than 1,000 people credited in this film. So it's very expensive, but it seems to be doing very well. And it has a lot of LGBTQ stars, including Cynthia Erivo as Alfaba, and Jonathan Bailey as Prince Fiero, and Bowen Yang is among others. And it's full of rainbow colors. It's very gay, to the point that the right wing is calling for boycotts of it.
I think Bowen Yang is being wasted on Saturday Night Live these days. He doesn't seem to have as big a presence as he has in the past. I want more Bowen Yang on Saturday Night Live because it's such a rotten show. It needs more Bowen Yang.
By the way, I'm going to say, if you're going to see this Wicked for good, see it in the movies. It really needs to be seen on a big screen. It helps. It'll be on Netflix, of course.
Now, have you seen this new HBO movie, Heated Rivalry, a very hot young gay male?
I have not, and it opens on November 28th, but it's about the secret affair between competing hockey stars. And it goes on. It has a 2-episode premiere, and then it's a series. And it looks really. All I'll say is it looks really hot. But I'll have to see it on November 28th. Where is it going to be on?
HBO.
Oh, HBO Max. I do have that.
See it before Larry Ellison buys HBO.
God.
We all could right. lose a lot.
Well, happy Ooh. Thanksgiving, everybody. Wait.
Oh, yeah, we got rid of that one. All right. So are you in town for Thanksgiving, Andy?
I am staying in town. I don't really like traveling at the holidays if I can avoid it. So I will be here. How about you?
Well, my secret is that I travel on Thanksgiving Day. So I'm not bucking the Wednesday afternoon crowd. I get in my car on Thursday morning and drive 4 hours to join my family in the deep backwoods of north central Massachusetts. So I wasn't sure I was up for it this year, but I want to see them, and so I'm going.
I love my blood family. I just saw them in October. I'm going to be the odd man out at somebody else's family.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could have stayed here with friends who I love and would have loved to see, but I just thought this is a family year.
Well, watch the Leslie Jones video. That will help you get through the holidays.
And think deeply about your own life and your gratitude for being alive, and think about what little tests might help prolong that.
Yes, Anne, I will.
Well, you're getting a lot of care. That's a good thing. I don't know what else you might need, but I know that getting tested myself for breast cancer was truly something I'm grateful for this year, because if I hadn't, I would be in a lot worse shape. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for this audience, which has been so supportive, and for you, Andy, and
Thank
for
you.
Everything that has happened.
I'm seeing two of our viewers from Florida in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, say hi to them for me. And we'll be back next week. So tune in then.